Someone's got big shoes on.
Is that what you say?
That is what Tom. That's Tom's catchphrase, actually.
Oh man,
yeah. I have many catchphrases.
I mean, that's great. I haven't heard the show, so that's
ooh,
good to know.
Someone's got big shoes on.
Do you say that every episode?
No, that's quite an old catchphrase. Yeah. He usually comes up with a new one every week.
Oh, I only say it once.
Last week it was, "I've been chosen."
Gareth Edwards did Monsters, then Godzilla, then Rogue One.
Rogue One was good.
You're wrong.
It was a good movie.
I watched it the other day, I was like, I still
what do you hate film. About it? It was fun.
I hate how it...
Give me 10 things you hate about it.
10 things you, I hate about it.
Do you hate the aesthetic?
Should we be recording? I hate
we are.
The... Right, no.
We have been for a while.
10 things I hate about Rogue One and everyone else should hate about Rogue One.
Alright. This is like BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Can't wait for number 7.
Number 6 will surprise you.
I'll make number 6 the most surprising. Yeah.
Number 8 will make you puke.
Number 1, main character is incredibly boring.
Right. I would argue she isn't the main character. The group is...
No, let him.
Don't.
Donnie Yen is the main character.
Number 2, random banking on nostalgia to make it like to make it feel like an old old Star Wars film.
Basically they deliberately made the aesthetic look
you're
like
watching
an old Star Wars
it
film.
Going I remember those things, I remember that, yeah,
I didn't
that's
feel
cool
that.
Look at it,
I
look how cool it
that
looks.
No, I didn't feel that.
No, I didn't feel that at all.
I hate films do that.
I will give you this. They did have AT-ATs.
I would think that was more cynical.
They did have those.
I would think.
What's wrong with that?
I would think that's more
bad.
Cynical were it not for the fact that it's a Star Wars movie.
No, like, right.
It's the same.
They
match the aesthetic of the movies. I don't see why that's
they're on a tropical planet, right?
Yeah.
AT-ATs shouldn't. Like, I mean, you can have AT-ATs, it's fine. Like, but. If they brought something new, such as like an AT-AT version of like a hovercraft,
you probably have those long things that they had in the pre trilogy where they were zipping through.
The speed bikes.
Speed bike things.
The ones on Endor.
One of them hits a tree.
What?
But that, like that a big. Well, movable hovercraft would have been pretty cool.
Here's the thing about the aesthetic, like banking on old Star Wars movies. I would think that were more cynical were it not for the fact that this is a Star Wars movie. If it were like a Star Wars knockoff trying to do a Star Wars thing, then I would see what you mean.
But
it's a house style.
It's their aesthetic,
right?
They're allowed to use it.
I know, it is. It's fine. Can do
it's
it.
Clearly clean.
Number 3. Number 3.
The fact that people were saying, like, oh yeah, look at how cool this thing was. Like, I didn't care about it. Number 3.
This seems like a problem with you.
Yeah, probably. Number 3, I didn't really care about
it's
how
becoming less about the movie.
it's going to be more about how much you don't care.
Number 9 is just, I'm sad.
Number 10 is going to be that he hates us 3 and that's
number 3 is why was this film even made?
No,
and then I'm just like, money. That's the only reason why.
That I agree with.
Yeah. I mean,
also true for 80% of movies that we watch.
Like, no, we know they're making a filler movie in between each episode. We know Obi-Wan's going to be one of the filler.
That's the reason why I hate it, because it's just like they've got to fill the time every year before
this one specifically. I'm all good with finding out what fucking Lando's up to, right? I like that. Right?
Yeah.
What I don't like is how we didn't actually learn anything about how they got the Death Star Death Star plans, because it's just basically we knew they got them.
Yeah.
We didn't learn anything new. The only thing we learned, which the reason I loved the film was because it was really world building. So the whole Kyber crystal thing and the like putting context on stuff, putting religious context to the Force, which hasn't been done yet. Like,
yeah, that was cool.
All I got for... As soon as I walked out of the cinema, the first thing I said was, so that was a lot of good people died to get this information, the movie.
Yeah.
That line is
from Return of the Jedi.
That line's good enough.
That line is about the second Death Star. Like, I had this argument with someone at work, like, when she was like, oh yeah, maybe Boffin's dad to give us this information. I said, when I watched that movie, that they should make a film about that. I'm just like, yeah, no, it'd be great if they made a film about that, wouldn't it? And she was like, what? And I was like, because that's set in Return of the Jedi and not A New Hope.
It's
Sorry.
That's number four, by the way.
to be fair, right? He shouldn't have made another thing with the same plans.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I mean, that's
they'll never work it out this
if
time.
If they knew they lost them, I mean, you'd be like, you'd put a pause in that second one, wouldn't you? Like, really?
Number
five.
Pig nose man.
What?
That pig nose man scene. Like, I was watching it with my brother the other day, and he was like, what? How did he get off the planet? Like, because there's a guy that goes, you better watch yourself. And I'm just like, that's the first line he says in A New Hope. Because he's just a random character from a bar in A New Hope.
Right.
And they've put him in for no reason. I guess it does come under the whole,
to be fair,
remember him kind of thing.
Yeah, I have no idea who you're talking about, but yeah, I'm not that engaged with Sowers.
Nah, fair enough. Like, there's a guy in the cantina bar who's like, you better watch yourself. We're wanted men. And then he gets his arm cut off by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That guy is on Jeddah. And, like, he must have got off the planet before Jeddah exploded. Yeah.
I'm not that far-fetched.
I mean, it's not that far-fetched. However, like, it's just like, it doesn't, that scene does not need to be in there. And the only
there's
reason
quite
it's
a lot
put in
doesn't need to be in that film. The main character.
Yeah, the main character doesn't need to be in there. What?
Or else? At least use your main character somehow.
Yeah.
One time.
She did stuff.
What? Climbed a building?
Yeah. She climbed that building really well.
She shot a...
She talked to her dad.
I don't think you've got 10 points.
Oh, we haven't even got onto Darth Vader yet.
Number six. Like,
number six, Darth Vader.
Dad jokes.
What about him?
Darth Vader is, like, doesn't need to be in there.
Is he really?
Number seven, Peter Cushing.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you it.
The first time I saw that, I was just distracted.
Yeah,
I was like, it's an actually really well-written scene, but I was just like...
Yeah, I'm with you.
I thought,
what have they done?
I thought Peter Cushing looked like a 3D version of the bad witch from Snow White.
Yeah.
He's got those rosy cheeks.
Look, we have to go back to Darth Vader, right? We have to work out...
Well, I want to go back to that, but on Peter Cushing, my brother asked on the car ride back... Why was there a random CGI guy? He had forgotten that Peter Cushing was in the original movies.
Peter Cushing was in it.
And he was just like, why did they do that?
I guess that's
probably the worst thing that makes this not a standalone movie, is if you watch that, God forbid, if you watch the Star Wars movies in their... in-universe chronological order, so you watch that before Peter Cushing was in the movie.
I will say, the bad Peter Cushing CGI acted kind of as, like, technological foreshadowing for the pretty good Leia CGI at the end.
That was even worse!
That I thought was not that bad.
It wasn't as bad as Peter Cushing.
I completely forgot about the Leia one, that's number eight.
I thought Leia looked a little bit like Snow White.
It looked
fine.
It looked more believable than Peter Cushing.
It was soft-lit, but that was...
She looked more believable because she was only in it for a fraction of a second.
Yeah, but I thought it was a better moment. Like,
entire scenes were hanging on Leia. Yeah.
I'll give you that one. Yeah. Go back to Darth Vader, what's the problem?
Darth Vader, right. James Earl Jones.
More like Daft Vader, am I right?
Don't give me that on James Earl
Jones. James Earl Jones is now a really quite old man.
Yeah.
If you, like, again, right, if you watch A New Hope,
his voice sounds
so much older, and it's a definite difference. I mean, it's like, again, it's a point of like, yes, we can do this. Do we need to? I mean, if it's not that great, cut it out. Like the Peter Cushing bit, just like, if it doesn't look good, if it'll distract the audience.
Do you want that to be a deleted scene, I think?
Peter Cushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter Cushing distracted me. James Earl Jones didn't distract me.
The Darth Vader scene distracted me so much. Like, especially like on like a third watch, I think I was.
But you can't deny like the last Darth Vader scene was pretty cool.
No.
I would
no,
like
it was terrible.
I would like to find someone who hasn't watched any Star Wars movies and make them watch them in the in-universe chronological order. Yeah.
Number 9.
Go on.
That last scene with Darth Vader.
Cool.
Again, yeah. A New Hope. You go look back at A New Hope. His sword fighting skills are terrible in A New Hope.
That is true.
Yeah,
he's not flinging his lightsaber around.
It's fucking long sword,
killing,
bash, bash, basho. Yeah. Yeah,
that and the first scene of A New Hope is we were on a diplomatic mission. He's got this guy in a chokehold, and the guys go, "We're on a diplomatic mission." Bullshit! I just saw you fly off from a battle. did anyone watch A New Hope before writing Rogue One? It was like, and like to be honest, that last scene felt as though they'd added it in after. I think the actual film was meant to end when
Gin Erso died.
Yeah.
On that.
But it's a coda. I feel like that would have been slightly too soon. It certainly ends her story. Mm. But that last sort of, I guess, 10 minute, exists to you know, make it clear that this, for anybody that isn't watching, that this isn't actually the end of what goes on. Like, okay, so I don't know.
Again, it's a whole thing of like, what if you watch them in chronological order, you'll be incredibly confused about what's going on.
I think you would be confused if that 10 minute portion weren't there, because you'd be like, that's it? What happens? Like, even if you have seen, you know roughly what happens in Star Wars, but you're not a Star Wars fan,
and
right?
You know, if you watch
you don't
in
know
chronological
how Star Wars
order.
Starts, that bit gives you, makes it clear that things happen in the next movie, and you know, yeah. Even if it's not exact, it gives you a sense that there's chronology to come.
I'm going to watch all Star Wars movies in chronological order now.
Okay,
I'm going to wait
for like Han Solo to come out and stuff.
I quite like filling in the blanks with films.
You're a busy guy.
So yeah. Like the last time you see Darth Vader is in Revenge of the Sith. The next time you see him is in A New Hope.
Well, Rogue One.
Well, no, like, if you cut Darth Vader out...
Sure.
Like, it'd be an amazing thing. It's like, oh, no, that's what he used Darth Vader for. Just tracking down loose ends.
Yeah, basically.
So, the order in which I actually saw the Star Wars movies was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Really?
Because I saw 1, 2, and 3... Well, actually, no. Technically, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3.
Okay.
But
I
was about 11, I think, 12, like that, when Episode 1 came out. So for me, it's not, this is a really horrendous prequel trilogy to this classic film.
It just gets better and better.
Well, no. Here's the thing, I hate Episode 4.
Really?
I can't fucking stand it because...
10 things you hate... you still need number 10, by the way. We're coming to that.
Episode 1, 2, and 3 did what they were doing in that context, and they did it fine, except for the fact that CGA hasn't aged well and a lot of the plot points are garbage, but, like...
just the plot and the visuals.
As a trilogy that I, as a teenage boy, watched, it was fun.
Yeah.
And then I watched Episode 4, and it was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
None of this plot makes sense. They've just made a reference to God in this movie. Like, it's very clearly a garbage movie that was made in the 60s.
And New Hope is a bit fucky. Like,
it's crap.
I do put, like...
It's the worst movie.
I don't give...
The worst movie of all time.
It's the worst Star Wars movie.
A New Hope is the worst movie ever created.
We've all seen Battlefield Earth.
I haven't.
Oh. I saw that movie with a girl I was trying to make out with.
Oh, stop.
Battlefield Earth.
Different girl.
You disgust me.
Did she run screaming?
I don't remember actually which of us picked it.
I don't know how you can try and make out with a girl when you have vomit in your mouth. That's what happened to me.
I don't know how you try and make out with a girl.
When you have vomit.
Yeah, well, exactly. Number 10.
Number 10.
I don't think there is 10.
Oh.
This is a late hour to be making that bet.
I don't think there is 10.
This is like, you've got a lot of odds on this one.
Yeah. I said that at 6 as well.
You did.
I've been struggling through it.
But that's what's even more like unlikely, is you're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Even though it's
Look, there's,
lucky.
There isn't a 10.
Number 10.
He's going to rehash one of the first 9. I didn't like Darth Vader's cape. Didn't swish that much in Episode 4. They had weights in it.
Nobody watched
Darth Vader's cape, number 10. No.
So there isn't 10.
There isn't 10.
There are only 9 things you hate about Rogue One.
Justified. Rogue One is a good movie.
How many is 10 things I like about Rogue One?
I don't think there's 10.
They get one of those hammer ships to fly into the side of a thing.
That was pretty sweet.
It was a great bit.
That was pretty sweet.
Physically using a spaceship to push something out of the way, and that's what that spaceship designed for. Hell's up to the yes.
Yeah.
Number two.
That gets a Transformers star.
Find a second.
using Capital One from Battlestar Galactica to push. Basically just took Capital One.
Can we do a podcast?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is this not the podcast?
No.
I think that's a deleted scene, right?
Jesus. I hope so. Maybe.
It's about an hour long.
Deleted scene that shouldn't be in the main one, but it is. I'll throw that in there.
Yeah.
That was mine too.
Oh, what the fuck was that?
The is there ghost's a, phone.
Is there a really quick bee in the corner somewhere?
Oh, no, just reminding you I'm here. Hello, it's me, Andrew the Bee.
The world's fastest bee.
I'm the world's fastest bee. I'm sure you've heard of me. I was just to remind you I'm here because I do like to stop by.
Andrew, can I ask you a question?
Anything you like.
Are those go faster stripes?
Those are stripes. You might recognise them from such bees as other bees. But they don't help me go faster. Mm. But I definitely do go quite fast.
Have you been anywhere nice recently, Andrew?
I've been all around the world.
Oh wow!
I've everywhere you can think of. I mean, I couldn't think of. I go exceedingly fast. I can't go far.
Right, I see.
Andrew, did you like Rogue One?
Fuck off!
All right.
Let's get on with some pictures.
Andrew the Bee is my new favourite character. Classic comedy.
Hello, it's me, Andrew.
Everyone
the
loves
Bee.
Your character. Yeah, no one
hates
likes
the littlest, littlest earthworm.
You don't hate them.
I do.
You hate them. They just feel really unsettled by them.
Yeah.
I think it was a very bold character choice not to make his first name begin with B.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. Andrew the fastest B.
It gave him another dimension.
Yeah, like, it did. Like
just Andrew B. It goes from A to B.
As fast as you can believe. Yeah. As fast... Andrew the Bee. I go from A to B as fast as you can see.
We're creating
as fast as you can be leave.
No, as fast as you can see. It's the next letter in the alphabet.
Alright.
It works better written down, admittedly. That's why I put it on the side of my van.
Do you have business cards?
Just imagine this bee driving a life-sized van.
Yeah. Very quickly. Insanely quickly.
No, he drives safely.
Oh, okay.
He's got to. Well, sorry. I drive very safely.
Oh, okay.
I've got to. I mean, you don't want to get pulled over.
No, of course. Surely you could escape the cops, though.
I've got two wife and kids to look out for.
Andrew, how many points do you have in your licence now?
Clean licence. Yeah. Completely clean licence. I'm very fast, but not on the road out. I am very safe and conscientious of the people on the road.
You're less funny now.
How am I driving? Call the hive. Just shout bees.
Bees!
But I am a removals and moving expert.
Have you been in any movies, Andrew?
I said moving.
Oh, okay.
Not movies.
Oh, all right.
Incidentally, I was in the background of Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, you were that bee.
Yes.
You were that bee.
The one that stings Harrison Ford on the ear.
Yes. And his character dies horribly because it's Harrison Ford character in 2017.
Wait, spoilers.
Have you seen this movie, Matt?
Where Harrison Ford gets stung in the ear?
By a bee?
Yeah, by a bee, aye.
You have seen the movie?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not even joking, there is a bee where that happens.
Yeah, it's Andrew the Bee.
Andrew the Bee.
Yeah, Tom, we're on the same page here, Tom.
Yeah, everyone knows.
I cannot wait for you to see that movie now. And then, like, because there is a scene with bees.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he get stuck on the ear?
Oh, boy.
That's incredible.
Oh my god.
That's incredible. It doesn't get stuck in the ear, but I was just like, oh my god, there is like a bee who gets like an incredible amount of screen time.
That's Andrew the Bee.
It's Andrew the Bee. I'll never be able to watch that film again now.
I mean, Tom.
Andrew!
Tom, you weren't going to watch it again, right? Anyway.
I've seen it twice.
Why? You hated it the first time.
I loved it second time.
Guess how many times he saw Rogue One?
I think
four
I know
at the cinema.
Wow.
I don't know why you hate movies.
Is there a movie you didn't like four times?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I wanted to make sure.
I see movies I like just once.
Yeah, I'm just like that.
You've seen Rogue One probably more times than I've seen my like third favourite film, Hot Fuzz.
Probably.
I've seen Rogue One more times. I've seen Rogue One more times than reasons for me to hate it. From Sarah Harrison, we got things that go bump at the Dodgems.
Okay.
Wouldn't that just be the Dodgems?
The Dodgems go bump at the Dodgems.
No, you're not supposed to bump other people. You go round in a circle and do not bump into other people.
Drive
that's the rules
safely.
Of the Dodgems.
You used to be a fairground operator, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they have the big rubber bumpers on them.
Yeah.
So that you're safe at driving round in circles.
I'm thinking
this
can
die there. It's... You know,
what the Dodgems?
Just in fairgrounds, really.
I mean, yeah, that I do not doubt.
If Scooby Doo has taught us anything, people can die at the Dodgems.
What are the ways you could die at the Dodgems?
Number one, crash, pretty easy one.
Crash at the Dodgems. Not just Dodgems, on a fairground.
Any fairground. Okay.
Choke on a Dodgem.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it's. My eyes bigger than your mouth.
You're kind of asking for it if you're trying to swallow a Dodgem.
All right, let's make that more plausible.
Yeah.
Dodgem canopy falls on you.
You
you joke.
Hungry hooker duck.
Yeah.
Hungry hooker duck, right? So yeah. It's like hooker duck, except you're all trying to get as many ducks as possible and eat them as soon as possible.
Yeah, you're
like,
eating all the
like
ducks.
The hippos in that game.
Yeah, but all of the ducks are alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you are allergic to...
Fairgrounds.
Right.
You're allergic to fairgrounds.
Awful.
You're allergic to fun.
How awful.
Fun fair.
They're not fun. It's not a laughing matter, actually.
You get on the Ferris wheel and it breaks down when you're at the top. That's a slow and painful death.
No, somebody, as soon as that happens, Spike could save you.
Oh, fair enough.
Fairground wheel falls off and rolls.
Yeah.
Into the Dodgems.
Definitely that.
Rollercoaster decapitation. Happens
trying,
all the time.
Trying to do monkey bars on those electric bits that push the Dodgems round. You know the bit on the top, the weird ceiling thing that the Dodgems are attached to? Trying to do monkey bars on them.
Electrocution.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't do CRB checks on the staff and they're working around children, so maybe somebody...
Can we cut that off?
Murder.
Straight up murder.
If you're really old and you go to the fairground, you could have a heart attack or something, like, just anywhere.
Yeah. Fairground threatening to be closed down.
So this is 100 ways...
An owner wants to get
some
insurance. 100
ways to die at the fair. That's
falls on your head.
Well, okay, so I was thinking... The reason I asked this question was because I was thinking, right, what if at night these Dodgems... all the people who died at this fairground, this very dangerous fairground, all start driving around in Dodgems. And at the start, you sort of see them driving around in the Dodgems place, but then someone just like puts their foot down and blasts out across the across the fairground.
And they're gone. Yeah. Like, and then they start terrorising the nearby town.
Yeah.
Bouncing into people.
Oh, no, I'm thinking it's a case of like... these kids break into the fairground.
Are we just doing that Disneyland one again, though, in that case?
But no, it's just, well, I think it doesn't have to be scary. I mean, the ghost can be fun.
I think
ghosts
this
can
is called,
be fun.
What was it called, this film?
Things that go bump in the Dodgems.
Things that go bump in the Dodgems.
Things that go bump in the Dodgems, right? These ghosts are just driving Dodgems around the town. Like they're blasting people as they come past. They're ruffling people's
papers. What are they blasting people with?
Ghost. Like themselves, you know. They're just driving the Dodgems through walls.
Ectoplasm
and they just,
shit.
I've got it. Double meaning, right? Things that go bump in the Dodgems. You've got his teenage horror movie. They break into the fairground. They go to the Dodgems, and they all start. It's like in the teenage movies where they're all on like a cliffside in cars having sex.
Hmm.
They're all banging in the Dodgems, but the Dodgems are also haunted. So while they're banging in the Dodgems, you get like a shot of the pedal getting pushed down by an unknown force, and the Dodgems all just drive up
and they drive into walls and stuff.
I mean, there
like Death Proof, but with Dodgems.
There ain't nothing wrong with a little bump.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
But
wow, that's a slag. That's a slag line.
There ain't, slogan. How about this? There ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grindhouse. It's a grindhouse movie.
I like it.
I like that.
And I like people all die violently and very like low budget gorily.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Someone gets electrocuted by the
thing.
At the top.
Oh, yeah, that thing's that's trash.
From Marcus
Swamp
Newman,
next to the Dodgem, like next to the fairground, like
just drowned in the swamp.
Yeah. Dodgem go that fucking down that into
it. It's death proof for Dodgems. It's death proof for Dodgems.
Why did we build our fairground on the swamp?
From Marcus Newman, we've got Spooked in the Headspace.
Spooked in the Headspace.
All right.
All right.
So it's a psychological thriller.
Yeah. Okay.
A ghost takes over someone's brain.
Like in being John Malkovich.
Kind of, but it's just with a dead person.
Okay. Is that person the killer of the person of the dead person?
No, just a random.
Well, yeah, that could be cool, like a revenge thing.
Yeah. So it's like this person wakes up and the person they killed is possessing them at night and trying to ruin their life.
Mm.
So it's a bit grudgy.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm thinking it's kind of in the same vein as like Unfriended or It Follows, that kind of age group of people.
That Instagram fucking film is.
Is it an Instagram film?
Yeah, it's not called an Instagram film, but it's basically
the
like
the Instagram movie.
Yeah, it's haunted Instagram.
Did you guys see the R-rated emoji movie? It's great. Just blood everywhere.
Really?
Which emojis?
All of them. Just all right in there. Like,
getting...
Just a massacre.
Just
like,
getting down and dirty and stabbing
awful.
And taking drugs. Mm. The aubergine emojis a prominent part.
It's a psychological thriller. Is it too obviously invoking Fight Club if I say Ed Norton is the ghost who comes back and invades the person's head?
Sarah Michelle Gellar is the killer.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just like obvious enough now that you've explained it.
Yeah, well, maybe if I'd just said it, it would have been like no. Would have been fine. Yeah, I like the gender fuckery there. Although I don't know, then we're making a sexual politics film.
Well,
we're not qualified.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar kills Edward Norton.
Yeah.
And then he ghostly possesses her brain.
Right.
And just makes her do things during the day that, like, not scary things,
just
really
humiliating.
Just really embarrassing things.
Oh, okay.
Like, she does a dance at work in the office, and then they
Is
come in.
Is this a comedy?
No.
I'm worried
this sounds like a comedy.
Yeah, where's the spook?
I'm really getting close to Face Off, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the spook factor, Tom. Give me the spook factor.
The spook factor is like everyone's watching her at the office as she's doing this really awkward dance and she can't not do it. She's going, I'm not in control of my body.
And then she goes out the window.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty funny at the moment.
Mm. Maybe.
It's fine if you want this to be a comedy horror.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
The world needs more comedy horror.
Mm.
Good. Sorry, the world needs more good comedy horror.
Yes. Yeah.
Scary Movie 1 was alright.
Mm. That's not true.
10 things I hated about Scary Movie 1.
Right. All I have to say about Scary Movie,
ten things about Scary Movie 1.
Right. Everything I have to say about Scary Movie, I have said before. But it boils down to this. Scary Movie spent its time parodying Scream as if it had something new to say about it.
clearly
not realizing that Scream was a parody of horror.
Yeah.
Like they missed the point of Scream and then decided to parody it.
They watched Scream and said, this could be less subtle.
This could be
more clear about what they're trying to say.
I don't even think they thought that. I think they watched Scream and thought, oh my God, this gives me a great idea.
Yeah.
What if the killer knew everything about horror movies?
Mm-hmm.
What if you made jokes about horror movies? Because there's like all these tropes. Have you seen these tropes?
Yeah.
They're like,
have you seen all these tropes lying around? Like,
sometimes they fall over when they're trying to get away.
That's so weird.
It's almost like...
Give me that... Tom, give me that movie title again.
What?
The one that Marcus suggested.
He's able to read that again.
Oh, Spooked in the Headspace.
So I think, does somebody say that about Sarah Michelle Gellar's character at some point during the movie?
Yeah, confident writing.
Yeah.
You're spooked in the headspace, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right.
Get out of work.
Come back when
you're not spooked in the headspace.
Who's the voice of reason in this movie? Who plays that character?
Well, let me throw a little wrench in the works here first.
Go on.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is an ad executive, right? Like in all the movies you love, like What Women Want or others.
Mad Men.
But there are loads. Listen, there are loads of films where the protagonist is an ad person.
Matt told me I wasn't allowed to talk about TV on this show.
TV is what is it? What is it?
It's like short movies, but lots.
Do you want me to Google it, Matt? Google television.
So she works in this real open, free-flowing ideas place.
Mm.
Part of the office, right, is called the headspace.
Oh,
it's where you go to bring your ideas, and everyone in the office has to listen to you. If you're like, I've got the best idea for an advert, then everyone turns around to listen to what you've got to say.
All right. So during Act One, when she's not spooked in the headspace, she walks past that corridor, but the camera lingers on the sign outside that says the headspace.
I've got it.
Edward Norton's got this really good idea. He also worked for the thing, and she was like, right, I'm going to kill him because that idea is great. And I need a promotion.
Well, she steals the idea, and then he debates. He's like, well, that was my idea, and she's like, no, we worked on that together. But I had the main part, and then he said, no, I'm going to the boss. I'm going to tell the boss that was my idea.
And then she turns to stabbing.
Yeah, and then
she straight away resorts to murder.
Yeah. Murders Ed Norton. He comes back, spooks her in the headspace. But about halfway through the movie, they start to realise they're not so different.
Ed Norton into the protagonist.
They start to realise they're not so different. However, in this headspace thing where she's pitching the idea, she then turns exorcist levels of being possessed.
Yeah, yeah, because Ed Norton can't control it at that point. He's a spirit.
Yeah, so...
I tell you what. Him having that grudge, forcing his way to possess Sarah Michelle Gellar, has opened the floodgates. All the other evil spirits can now get in, including very, very powerful angry ones.
While she's in the headspace and she's going through the exorcist possession scene, because they're in the headspace is like a no criticism zone.
Mm. Sure.
So everyone's like, that's a really good idea while her head's spinning.
She's crawling up the walls backwards,
Yeah, and then we cut from that scene to her and her friend having lunch outside. Her friend is played by Karen Gillan, and they're talking, and Karen Gillan says, you seem a little off today. And she's still vomiting and spinning her head. She hasn't stopped.
They're down in fucking Pret a Manger,
Is something up?
It's something like, fuck you, you bitch.
They're in fucking...
I mean, I don't want to have to talk to HJ.
they're in fucking Starbucks, and she's just still spinning and vomiting all the way.
Only the second worst customer in that Starbucks, then.
Still holding a pumpkin spice latte.
That really is a kind
logo facing out.
That is a Family Guy cutaway, isn't it? That's so shit.
So can I take a hack.
Listeners.
Can I take a name, please? So there's a pumpkin spice latte for you'll know who it is.
as a pumpkin spice latte for Anne. Like they've spelt it right. That's her name.
It's the only way that gets through to them.
The only way you can get them to spell your name right is by throwing up on them.
Unless if we want to go slightly more subtle, which I don't think we do. But she says her character's name. She says, "Oh, I'm Sarah Michelle Gellar." But then the coffee is called out for Edward Norton.
Ooh,
shit.
That's how you first
the actor, Edward Norton.
No, it's no, the barista says, "I've got a coffee here for Edward Norton's character."
Yeah. Because nobody at that point remembers the name of the character.
No. Yeah. Well, we don't. That's the important part.
So what we're pitching here is The Exorcist, but no one cares.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called The Apathist.
Well, no, it's called Spooked in the Headspace.
I'm sorry, Marcus, I didn't mean to take that.
The tagline is The Exorcist, but no one cares.
It's also the name of, like, it's also the title of most of the reviews.
No, it's Millennials Have Ruined The Exorcist.
No, Millennials are ruining The Exorcist. Yeah. It has to be active, otherwise you can't make you can't make people hate us.
Yeah. It's happening right now, and if you do something, you can stop it.
If you two could kill a millennial.
To be fair, there's not many movies these days targeted at baby boomers, so...
I genuinely...
Oh, no. I can name a few.
No,
mainly ones that are nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah. But where have they ever gotten anyone?
No.
La La Land?
Like, literally zoomed in on baby boomers and went... You want this one. You really want this one.
I was thinking of, like, the best exotic marigold hotel, and then you said Academy Awards. I was like, no, La La Land, yeah. Definitely.
Right, imagine...
Although I like La La Land.
Imagine this, right? Whiplash, but accessible to you.
Surely the answer is Whiplash?
No, unless you have a passion for jazz. No, the great thing about La La Land is it still has a passion for jazz, but it's contained in Ryan Gosling. you don't have to know anything about jazz in order to pretend you like it.
Yeah, you
as
have
a
to
concept.
Know Ryan Gosling is the jazz character.
Because it's that, yeah. All you have to know is that this man is better at jazz than all the black
La
people
La Land,
who made it.
Tagline, you don't have to know anything about anything.
Yeah.
Just... La La Land, just a blank slate.
To be fair,
say what you want to say.
If you want to understand the last 10 minutes, you're going to need a fucking PhD.
I won't hear this slander against La La Land. I thought
Ryan Gosling in La La Land is playing exactly the same character. Like, you know how just the embodiment of jazz.
Yep.
Yeah, he's playing jazz.
Playing the exact
His character name is Jazz, I believe.
Yeah.
Playing the exact same character in Blade Runner. Just the embodiment of jazz. He's all singing or dancing.
That sounds great.
I haven't seen La La Land and I won't. But I'm watching Blade Runner tomorrow and I feel like you're all planting these little seeds. Like, now I'm looking for jazz Ryan Gosling and a bee.
That bee is the star
and
of the
I
movie.
I haven't seen the original Blade Runner.
Anthony the bee.
Andrew.
Andrew the bee.
Andrew. I only stuck around because I wanted to listen to the podcast. You don't have to insult me to my face.
Sorry.
Fuck off, you big.
I forgot you were even here. You're just a fly on the wall right now.
Oh, fuck off.
Andrew, have you seen La La Land?
Twice.
What did you think?
I thought it's... the musical stylings of Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone were second to none. I thought that the dance projects, the kind of were a throwback to a better time.
I know the bit. You're a baby boomer, right?
I'm a baby boomer. That's correct. Well done. You called it.
What do you think of millennials?
Thanks for ruining my fucking joke.
I mean, there's no way to make that joke not ruined.
What do you think of millennials, Andrew?
They're killing the bee industry, right?
They are. Have you ever noticed we're disappearing?
I've seen a think piece about it, yeah.
We just make robot bees, though.
Have you noticed that bees are disappearing? Who do you think you've got to thank? Millennials are killing the bee industry.
The honey industry.
The bee industry.
What does the bee industry do?
Makes bees. You fucking idiot.
Let's see it.
Okay, so from Jasmine Ma, we've got, I think, three titles, but they're all one word, so they could very well be one.
Let's do it as one.
So
let's keep it moving.
So the title or titles are Creep Oblivious Risk.
All right.
No, surely that'd be Oblivious Creep Risk.
Oblivious Creep Risk.
Oblivious Creep Risk.
Or, even better, it's a challenge. Risk Oblivious Creep.
Let's go with Risk Oblivious Creep.
It's a sort of... It starts off on a... need a female actress.
I hear that you two are famously bad at coming up with females.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Alison Hannigan.
What?
Alison Hannigan is
ignore
swiping
Whoopi
Goldberg.
Swiping through Tinder.
Yeah.
Through...
Whoopi Goldberg's not on Tinder.
Would not have been on Tinder.
Yeah, Alison Hannigan, sure.
Alison Hannigan swiping through Tinder.
Although there's... I don't know if Alison Hannigan's on Tinder at this point, I mean.
I know Whoopi Goldberg's happily married.
She's married in How I Met Your Mother.
I mean, that is a character, though.
Yeah. She's married in real life as well.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be happily married.
But clearly she's on Tinder.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, as Hannigan's on Tinder, she's swiping through all these guys,
yeah.
And then one, she's like, ooh, that's an interesting-looking man.
That person's obviously scary.
It's Anthony Hopkins.
wait.
He's using the last shot from Silence of the Lambs as his profile photo.
Wait, it's the real Anthony Hopkins?
Does she recognize...
Sir Anthony Hopkins, please.
Like, is she like... That's Anthony Hopkins.
No, she has no
bio,
idea who he is.
His bio says, Tinder wouldn't let me add sir.
And his profile is just, I'm completely oblivious. she's like...
No, it's Anthony Hopkins, like, with a bloodstained shirt, right? White shirt, bloodstained, but, like, looking like, ah? Like he doesn't quite understand what's going on.
Can I recast? Just to get the ages a bit
sure.
closer. Will Arnett?
Will Arnett from from Arrested Development.
Again from TV. I'm sorry. Yeah.
If you're looking for someone slightly unsettling, you could definitely do better than do worse than Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. Sudeikis, the most unsettling man.
Just slightly unsettling. I don't think he's the most unsettling
there
man.
There is something unsettling about Jason Sudeikis.
There is
for sure.
That he encapsulates the description slightly unsettling.
She sees Jason Sudeikis on the Tinder, and the profile is just, I'm completely oblivious to everything. She's like, could risk a date with him.
Swipe. Which direction?
Swipe right.
Right is good?
Yeah. And
right,
then
yeah, I don't know either.
They get texting, it's quite a nice thing, and then they go out for a few dates and stuff, and she risks this oblivious creep.
What happened?
Yeah. Why does she risk it? Is she desperate?
What I'm pitching
she's a thrill seeker. She loves. She's always bungee jumping.
Right.
She's always like, listen. I was just a little concerned that we hadn't characterized our main character yet, but we'd spent a long time on Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. No, blah, blah, blah. So, I think it's just a romantic comedy.
Wait, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
All right, but
no ghosts.
but right, okay. So before that, though, on Tinder, she was looking at this other guy who's really looked really sexy. Looked very safe.
Yeah,
he's like feeding the homeless or something in his profile photo. And then
poser.
And then like just post credit scene, like it's just him stabbing.
and then they walk past
him on the street stabbing a homeless person, and then she's just like looks at the camera, looks straight into the camera,
and then
it goes
and now for the punchline. thank god I didn't risk that oblivious creep.
Hey.
From Ed Crawley, we've got The School for Hauntings.
The School for Hauntings.
Harry Potter, everybody's a ghost, but the ghosts are people. So the John Cleese plays just like a human. It's a school for dead children.
Yeah.
Mm.
But they're all... Right, here's...
Hang on.
The twist at the end.
This is the plot to Casper the Friendly Ghost 3?
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah, it is.
Tom... You're the only person who's seen that movie.
Yeah,
Isn't it just called Casper 3?
Yeah, there was a film
called... Wait, have you all seen this movie?
There is a film
called... Is it called Three Asper?
No, no, it's called Calf Reaper. Clearly. But it's...
Oh,
boy. No, no, no.
Oh,
no,
yeah, it's Casper-ier, isn't it? Yeah.
Casper-ier. there is a film. I think it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it.
Well, yeah, here's my pitch, right?
Go on.
It turns out at the end there's a twist.
Yeah.
It's the head teacher is... no, one of the kids is called Le Bon. And it, they're all learning how to direct The Haunting. The film The Haunting.
Casper, A Spirited Beginning.
That is not what you just said.
No, no, it that's the film I was
you
thinking
of. You said Casp 3R.
Three Casp, Three Furious.
But, yeah, it's... wow. No, there's Casper Meets Wendy.
Which... Michael McKean's in that movie.
Who's Michael McKean?
Oh, he's on TV, don't worry about it.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's in Not Breaking Bad.
Three Cats, Three Tenuous.
Tom, you need to watch some TV.
Casper, A Spirited Beginning was something I got on video from the video shop.
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Down the road.
No. This was Apollo Videos.
Wow. And Indie Chain.
This was before Blockbuster. Mm. So, like, yeah, we would go down and get a video. I was like, oh, I really want to see that film, Casper.
Which nobody has said.
What?
Nobody.
Hey, well, listen.
Casper the Friendly Ghost is amazing.
That bit where he climbs out of the weird bell jar machine, and he's human, and they go on that date.
Casper's not a good creation. Like, there's nothing good about Casper.
He's friendly ghost.
I don't think that's not a character.
You've missed the entire point of Casper, which is that he is a good ghost. That is what's good about him. He's a nice ghost.
He's a ghost, but wait for it. He ain't spooky like the others.
So it's a movie, but there's no conflict, I see.
There is conflict. He's got the ugly ghosts, sisters.
The other ghosts are like frat boys, and then he's like, I don't like football.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, fine. They're like, but does he want a medal? Like,
they're like, I love pulling sensitive pranks. I love hurting people's feelings. And then he's like, I don't like.
Why are most ghosts terrible? Is it because they just don't care anymore?
It's bored. Sociopaths, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it's mainly, right, that people were worse in the past.
I see.
So most ghosts are from
just
the past.
Statistically, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. You thought it was bad when the baby boomers were alive.
So what you're saying is ghosts are evil and bad because of cultural appropriation.
No, baby boomers are killing millennials.
Actually flat out murdering them.
I mean, you know, they're starving them to death.
Fair enough, yeah.
Tell us more about Casper, Tom, because you've just been looking up Casper on IMDb for 10 minutes.
Casper the Friendly Ghost. Who great movie.
Casper? I tell you what, pitch Casper to us.
It's a good question. Who plays Casper?
And what they're doing now.
I really wanted to see the film Casper, and that was the only Casper film we could find. Casper, Spirited Beginning, which is a prequel that came out two years after.
Three Casp, Three Tenuous.
Perfect.
And, yeah, like, it's a... Casper, the original film.
I'd like to apologise to whoever suggested the title.
Great movie, Ed Crawley.
What was Ed's title?
We're just going to skip this one.
We've forgotten?
Yeah. It's Haunt School...
The School for Hauntings.
None of this is in the podcast.
The School for Hauntings is basically what happens in...
It's School of Rock, right? But it's but Jack Black plays a haunting teacher.
School of Shock.
And right.
There is
just replace
School of Shock.
get School of Rock and replace the word rock with haunting.
But also, right, Jack Black he goes into a school where they teach really outdated methods of haunting, like lifting teacups and like attending seances, blowing out candles.
And he innovates,
slamming doors, and he innovates with his new kind of haunting.
Yeah, like, anti-authoritarian, like cool guy.
And there's a battle of the haunt coming up with crossing over with John Edwards. That's his full name.
Disembodied guitar playing, attending podcasts,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, and stabbing John Edwards is the best one that you can do. That's the finale.
That's the finisher.
Yeah.
Alright.
So sorry about that, Ed.
Sorry, Ed.
No, you got a great School of Rock ripoff.
Yeah. And you'd be such a great press manager for films.
It's great!
You've just got a great Star Wars ripoff.
Perfectly fine.
Like working for Battlestar Galactica in the 80s. Just, hey, you got a great Star Wars ripoff.
Yeah, it's Star Wars. Fuck you.
People will like it.
Yeah.
Fuck them, they're stupid.
They'll watch anything.
You watch the Avengers, watch the Justice League.
Don't.
This is fine.
Don't watch the Justice League.
There's a man punch another man. There's a woman punch a man. There's a fast.
Nobody punches the woman.
She's too fast for it. She can't get hit.
She's too way fast. Too fucking fast.
That's why she's called Fast Woman.
Oh, that character.
Yeah, she's called Wonder Woman because it's a wonder.
How anyone can
hit her. Yeah, because that's why her film was mainly shot in slow motion.
Oh, right.
Because she's too fast.
I thought that was the Flash's shtick.
No. That was
Wonder Woman. It is as well, and he's incredibly. He's going to be incredibly jealous.
I feel bad that we kicked out Andrew the Bee so soon. We could use him right now.
Just wait for the Flash movie. Can you imagine if Wonder Woman's speed is that much slow motion? Imagine what the Flash will
be
like.
It's going to take them 25 years.
Yeah, not just film, to watch.
To watch.
The running time will be that long.
The running time is very long for The Flash.
That's the tagline for the movie.
The running time is very long.
That doesn't seem in the same... it doesn't scan the way that most taglines work, does it? The running time is very long.
I'm laughing so much I've gone dizzy.
What are some other movie taglines we could in
space? Time is sound, very long.
Sound doesn't travel in space, so shouting will be effective.
Oh boy.
Oh god.
Anything else? Anyone else got some movie taglines you'd like to ruin?
Psycho, don't stop at this motel.
This one is dangerous.
Can I look up some famous movie taglines?
Any Star Wars movie, surely.
What are the Star Wars taglines? Oh, it's just the I think the story continues, isn't it?
Here's
another one.
The Star Wars Star Wars more. The Empire Strikes Back. More. Yeah.
Remember Return of the Jedi? So no, it's Empire Strikes Back is here's another one. Then the Return of the Jedi.
The Phantom Menace. Less.
How about Edge of Tomorrow? Tom Cruise keeps dying. What's up with that?
Tom Cruise again.
He's just dying. He keeps dying.
This man wakes up instead of dying.
The stakes have never been higher.
Independence Day, don't worry, the real White House is safe.
Groundhog Day, don't worry, you'll get it.
Minority Report, what if not wrong is wrong?
The Social Network, a film about how Facebook was made.
What about
ever wanted to know how Facebook was made? No?
No.
Well, find out.
How about The Social Network? Hey, you know Facebook.
You know Facebook?
You know Facebook.
Chicken Run. Chicken Run?
Chicken, comma, run, exclamation mark.
The chickens sure are running.
Get out of here, they're going to try and eat you.
Lost in Translation. If you like quiet... You'll love this.
No, sorry, that's too. That is too much like a tagline.
Yeah,
you're getting it wrong now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like quiet, good.
This movie is quiet.
Taxi Driver.
Let's move on.
No, Taxi Driver, you're not going to enjoy it.
Oh, I enjoy Taxi Driver.
You didn't enjoy it. You found it interesting. It's not an enjoyable film.
I enjoy things that are interesting. Actually, Taxi Driver is genuinely enjoyable.
Not enjoyable.
10 things Matt hates about Taxi Driver now.
Go.
1.
Age well.
2.
3.
I didn't know we were podcasting. I thought it was just more Star Wars chat.
Well, that was the plot to the next Star Wars film.
Number 11.
You didn't get number 10.
I didn't get number 10, no. Why am I being so optimistic? I'm saying there's 11 yeah. reasons to hate Rogue One.
I'm excited to get the 10th at the end of the episode. Finally, some payoff.
That's number 10. No payoff.
Not enough ghosts.
Not enough ghosts in Rogue One.
Not enough ghosts.
There are ghosts in the rest of the Force.
Does every...
No ghosts in Rogue One. No.
Does every episode of Star Wars have a ghost?
No.
No.
Episode 1 does not have a ghost. There's nobody dead.
Nobody's dead.
Nobody's died yet.
Nobody's dead in episode 1. Nobody we give a shit about.
Oh, okay.
Every episode of Star Wars, someone dies.
Well, it's war.
I was literally bullshitting there, but then I was like,
it's almost
maybe.
Certainly true.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, almost definitely.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, let's go. Episode 1.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Episode 2.
Star Wars itself. Star Wars itself died.
Oh, God. Romance.
No. Does nobody die in episode 2?
Wait.
Boba Fett dies in episode 2. He gets
Jango Fett.
D-headed, whichever one.
Jango Fett dies.
Jango Fett dies. Episode 3.
Mum.
Oh, yeah, no. Anakin's mum dies in episode 2 as well.
Is that in 2?
3.
Yeah. 3. The younglings.
I think characters
all
have to
the
be
Jedi, right?
All the Jedi, right?
The younglings.
All
the
Jedi.
General Grievous.
Bodily Arm.
Episode 4.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Episode 5.
Don't know what happens in that.
Ewoks.
No, gotta be a named character. That's gonna be our
story. Ewoks. Does nobody die in it? Episode 5.
I mean, Harrison Ford's
Tom's
enthusiasm.
Tom's looking so intently at his episode 5 poster.
Yeah, nobody dies.
The Tauntaun.
No, it's got to be a named character.
How many other Tauntauns did you see?
Harrison Ford's enthusiasm for Star Wars.
No,
what acting?
I'm not giving you this.
Tom, jokes right now.
You made a claim about having 10 things you hate about Star Wars, and that turned out to be bullshit. Now so you said somebody dies every Star Wars movie.
We're sticking to this. Does anybody die in episode 5?
Nobody dies.
Sorry, I mean, Han Solo goes in carbonite.
I'm just going to say you've got no right to talk about the length of the podcast anymore. I didn't talk about Rogue One for 12
hours.
Does
Jabba the Hutt die in episode 5?
No, because he's alive at the beginning of episode 6. Even I know that, and I'm not a fucking nerd.
I've got news for you.
someone does. Someone must die in 2.
5.
I'm just going to pull up the plot synopsis now.
The real suit.
The bottom of this.
All right.
Who dies in
Empire Strikes Back?
Vader, right?
Dak.
Who the fuck is Dak?
Exactly.
You've just made up a character.
He's a named character.
No, you've just invented
him. He's a named character and he dies.
Dash Rendar.
The
protagonist of the Shadow of the Empire N64 game.
These are fake Star Wars characters.
He probably dies in it.
Dak dies in it.
No, he doesn't.
Dak does. He dies.
What about Pigsy, whatever his name is?
You guys are making this up.
Porkins, that's his name, Porkins.
Porkins dies in episode 4. But Dak is Luke's co-pilot.
No.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not giving you it.
Yeah, you are.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
What about Porkin's replacement, the guy who dies?
When does Yoda die?
The same film as
Yoda dies episode 6.
Alright, fuck that guy.
Apparently it's a space opera.
Yeah.
Who dies in episode 5, right, that replaced Porkins in his job of being the guy who dies in that scene because they're all the same film?
Who dies in episode 5 of Star
Wars? I'm literally reading the plot synopsis right now.
Yeah, I'm Googling it.
Hand?
Hand?
Hand Solo.
Hand. No, Hand dies in 6.
Hand.
I don't know.
Luke Hand. Who dies in...
Luke Hand.
How about this?
Yoda?
Yeah.
Yoda's 6. We already said that.
Yoda's dead in 6.
You said Yoda then, as if you were just saying random.
Does Lando Calrissian die?
No.
Chewbacca?
No. He's in bloody the new one, the new old
Wampa.
Ones, the old new ones.
Womp rat. Sand.
Persons. Chronological list of everybody that died in Star
Wars.
Wars.
Nah. This better not be the extended universe because we could be here for a while.
No. Oh,
Count Frodo.
Before Yoda.
Christopher Lee.
Episodes.
Jimmy Scrambles.
Jimmy Scrambles. Jimmy Scrambles will never die.
Nobody dies.
Episode 4.
Fogo Hunkfast.
Episode 5. Kendall Ozell Commander of the Death Squadron.
What the hell is the Death Squadron?
He's a named character by your own rules.
Kendall Azell is
Dak is here.
Dak Rosa.
Yep.
Starfighter pilot.
What about Dash Rendar?
Bullshit.
Dash Rendar is not here.
There's nobody here that we give a shit about.
Fucking Star Wars naming conventions.
Lorth Nida.
Zev Seneska. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, who's Zev Seneska? You know.
Nobody does.
Okay,
but... That guy, Black Eyed Peas did a song about it. Zev Seneska.
Alright, episode 6.
Okay.
Come on, it's a freebie.
Yoda.
Vader.
Episode 7.
I haven't seen it.
Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers. Sorry to ruin it for you.
I was saving the last trilogy until they're all out.
What about Chewbacca?
You saved it to binge.
Yeah, I do that. I save things to binge.
What about?
I tidied myself over with Rogue One. Han Solo dies.
Chewbacca dies, doesn't he?
Mads.
Fuck off, Mads.
His brother.
No.
His brother from Kashyyyk.
Chewbacca.
Chewpacker.
I'm not gonna watch
He's there. Now. He's there with a little Pete. He's got a watch. He's like, hello. I'm here on the other end of your radio. And then he's like. Opens that door.
I went through that entire bit where everyone like had an opinion about that movie, and everyone's talking about they hated Kylo Ren. He was a little piece of shit. I was like, I want to go watch this movie. I want to see him maybe die. No, you just
Oh boy, hell couldn't have been more perfect. Episode 7. I haven't seen it.
Han Solo.
No, it is. Perfect. I was ready to laugh it off and pretend it was a joke.
Yeah.
Nah. No. You were like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh,
too
there we
good.
Go.
Too
there it
good.
Goes.
Hey, let's do some right, podcasts. Right.
There is that bit of like, how have you not gone for 2 years and not...
Like, I know.
Found out.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I mean, I don't like go on the Star Wars subreddit.
Spoiler alert for a film that came out 2 years ago.
You really haven't seen that movie?
No, I was saving. I'm a movie saver.
Did you think that was realistic? That you would be able to save those movies?
Lord of the Rings. I saw the third one in the cinema after seeing the first and the second one on DVD for the first time, knowing nothing about the plot.
But it's Star Wars.
But nobody was talking about
Lord of the Rings
spoilers, were they? Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody was going, can you believe Gandalf got white?
We got this white guy and made him whiter.
He's the Daz of wizards.
I mean, all right, I walked here with you two, and you both know that I've seen that Star Wars film because I kept talking on the way here about Harrison Ford getting Star Wars down the
I forgot.
It's possible we've seen that movie together. Like, yep. And I forgot. It's quite possible.
I don't know what I just did, but I just did something to both of you.
Now, bamboozle. Yeah. It's called a bamboozle.
Mine screwed in the headspace.
From Dwadg, or the Don't Worry About the Government podcast, we've got Songs from a Dead Piano.
Ooh, I like that. I mean,
that's a movie that everybody goes, oh yeah, that movie, it really made me think. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm gonna watch that movie. It's gonna be so thoughtful.
Someone summarized it for me.
Yeah,
it sounds
really, really poignant.
But they didn't want to spoil it for me, so they only told me kind of the setting, so I kind of get it.
But it sounded so, heartfelt and sincere. And people just don't make movies like that anymore, and I don't know why. I haven't seen it, but I don't know why.
So, Owen Wilson.
Yes.
Owen Wilson.
Voices a cartoon piano.
That 20 minutes into this film, will die. Someone from a Dead Piano. Firstly...
Was it a dead piano or a dying
piano? We barely brush on the dead fact piano. That this piano is alive.
Yeah, that's just part
almost
of the plot.
Almost a given, but it's not normal in this world. Mm. We get, like, two scenes of being surprised that this piano is alive before someone murders it.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Well, but during this time, what we find out is that Owen Wilson was writing songs prolifically. Like, he was so, so good at writing songs.
Okay.
Or, not good, but, like, he wrote a lot. They weren't necessarily amazing.
Sure. The piano was quite good at writing songs.
No, he was quite, quite
the
good.
Piano wrote,
quite good, but mostly... The important part is the quantity of them. Right? And I think the reason... We find out that the reason he died was because a music executive was trying to break into him to tear more songs out.
The movie's a musical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Can Owen Wilson directed sing? By Does the Whiplash
Man. Let's imagine he can.
I assume so, right?
Directed by the Whiplash Man, La La Land Man.
Damien Chazelle?
That's the one.
Is it about jazz now, then?
And, well, it's piano, so it's, you know...
No, it's all kinds of genres, because this music executive was, like, was literally ended up ripping its innards out in order to get some more songs inside.
Oh no! Oh, you're ripping my songs
out! And both Miles Teller and Ryan Gosling come in to save the piano.
Unsuccessfully.
And all the jazz within it.
Yeah, they save the jazz, but not Owen Wilson.
And then they both die.
Yeah,
Miles Teller and Ryan Gosling both get killed.
They're like, you know what? If you're trying to get this music, no one will have this music. And they both pull J.K. Simmons, who's playing the music executive, into the belly of the piano and get strangled by the piano wires and smashed by the hammers.
Boy, fuck you, J.K. Simmons.
Everyone dies.
Now, I was imagining Miles Teller and Ryan Gosling were playing their respective characters in Whiplash and La La Land. J.K. Simmons is in both of those movies.
Yeah, he's playing all...
He's playing a mixture of both.
Okay, sure.
Right, but right, J.K. Simmons, right?
Yeah, I know him.
He's... In La La Land, he has a restaurant where he's a hard ass.
He should have been in that movie more.
And always. Whiplash, he's a drum... guy, a jazz...
You haven't seen
a jazzman. He's a bit of a jazzman. He certainly likes jazz.
You haven't seen the movie.
A lot. And he's a bit of a hard-ass, right?
Matt, have you not seen Whiplash?
He's a real tough cookie.
say one of his lines from that movie.
Break yourself a bit of J.K. Simmons from that movie.
Fast boy, are you slightly behind, boy? Which is it?
Well, he's definitely seen it.
Tell me which... ahead, boy, or behind? Huh? Ah! He says. Ah! Well, I'll tell you what...
I was ahead.
Well, I'll tell you something. Jazz ain't...
Jazz don't wait. That's his catchphrase in that movie.
Oh,
Jazz don't wait.
Jazz don't wait. He says, and get me pictures of that fucking Spider-Man. Bust the fucking nut.
Wait, is he the same guy that asked for pictures of Spider-Man?
Yeah, he's the same character in all of his movies.
I didn't recognise him without the hair.
Wait, he doesn't have hair in that movie.
The moustache.
So anyway, right, he was in disguise in those, right? He's a music executive going into all these music venues trying to steal people's music.
Right.
He's the music thief.
So he guts the piano.
Yeah. So he's like, I will find the music of this living piano, and I bet it's in there. Now, Bennett's in there. He tries to get Ant and Dec from Alien Autopsy to open it up like an alien.
Wow. Matt, I just want to congratulate you. You're the first person in 15 years to reference the movie Alien Autopsy.
No, we've done it before.
Oh, boy.
All I'm thinking of now is Ant and Dec.
Yeah.
He tries, but they turn him down. They say, well, I'm not opening a opening a living piano. Like, that's fucking great.
Was that? Was that Ant or Dec?
Both.
Okay.
They speak as a hive.
Sure.
Off screen, obviously. Yes. They have to concentrate very, very... That's why they're so loved in their profession. They worked very, very hard to be able to speak separately.
Mm.
They actually grew up as a hive mind.
Oh, that's so weird.
It happened around the time that one of them went blind during a shooting of Biker Grove.
They were taken to that military complex put in that fly machine.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
No, we don't talk about that.
It's on Wikipedia. You can look it up.
But yeah, so he's... J.K. Simmons is like ripping the guts out of this thing.
Oh, my God. For how long in this movie? Like half an hour?
A long time. And then literally, Ryan Gosling comes up behind him and like the witch in Hansel and Gretel, just pushes him into the piano, shuts the lid, and then starts playing a merry jig. And then you can just hear J.K. Simmons dying with every note.
Wow.
There you go, song from a dead piano.
That took a lot of... getting to that point.
Well, you know, I'm a professional.
Would you say it was worth it?
Yeah.
It was worth it for me to hear you explain Whiplash to me. It's a movie that you've clearly
seen. That boy
really want you to recount the plot of Whiplash.
100% he's drumming good, but no, like, not good enough for the tough cookie J.K. Simmons,
right,
who's on the case.
What's he going to do about it?
Oh, we'll shout. He'll shout up a storm.
And what does Miles Teller do about that?
Oh, he tries real hard.
He tries harder?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what happens?
Sad time. They come to an emotional head.
Yeah.
It all kind of kicks off.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay. And, yeah. I'm gripped. Then tell me what.
I mean, how does it kick off?
Then
yeah.
There's a
what specifically? Well, then
they like, Miles Teller breaks down with his friend of another gender. And
when you say breaks down, do you mean
emotionally?
Not musically.
Not jazzy.
Also, he has a bit of a jazzy time as well.
Okay.
The film's peppered with jazzy time.
That's the title of deleted scenes. Peppered with jazzy time.
He has a breakdown. And in a cafe, troubled times.
How does it come to an emotional head, Matt?
The fire.
The fire?
Oh my god, I'm actually fainting. I'm actually fainting.
Tom just had a very violent reaction to that.
Oh god.
Just take some deep breaths.
Good boy. The fire.
Tell us about the fire.
He jumps so hard. he really jumps.
He jumps more than anyone.
He jumps real hard for J.K. Simmons. And the sparks are flying. And everyone knows that J.K. Simmons is brittle and dry like a tinderbox. he's a dry man.
A famously dry man.
Yes. And it's just
so Miles Teller drums so hard he starts the fire.
And the final sort of the reason it happens is because he hits it on beat and he gets there. And J.K. Simmons leans in real close, he says, That was beautiful, and he's moved to tears, right? And there's the single tear, the one drop of water that J.K. Simmons still had in his body, leaves, and which makes way for the fire to start, and the whole thing conflagrates, and everyone dies.
Yeah, that is.
I think, like, yeah, that's pretty much bang on Whiplash.
Pretty dead on.
You should not even bother watching that movie.
You've got it. I mean, you know it. You've seen it, like, basically in your mind.
And then I think, like, the truck that the whole film is taking place on breaks sharply. And they all get neck injuries.
Head into Ravine Town, USA.
No, it just breaks sharply and they all get neck injuries.
Right.
Which is where the name of the film comes from.
The thing is, right. Oh, okay. The thing is, right. You could edit that and actually get the plot of Whiplash.
Close. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Closer than that.
Like, you've got all the elements there.
Even
they're
the
just
fire?
Doing a kind of, yeah.
Except for all the major plot points at the end.
No.
There's no fire. Don't lie to the man.
There isn't
there's
a fire.
No fire.
There isn't a
what
fire.
What are you talking about lying to me? I know what happens in Whiplash.
Yeah, of course, you've seen it. But
there is a metaphorical fire.
Guess.
It all comes to a head.
There is a truck that does break really suddenly.
It's true. That is true. They're famously, yeah.
That's incredible. Mm.
J.K. Simmons get hit by a car, I hope so. Mm. Not that.
I want to watch this movie with you, so I'm not going to tell you.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up. Give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.